Today we're going to continue our sermon series, What the Bible Says About Leadership. In the first five messages of the series, we looked at the Old Testament and gleaned some principles that can be applied for our New Testament church today. And then over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what the New Testament says about the church. In the first message in this part of the series, we learned that the purpose of leadership in the church is to actually train and equip God's people to serve. It's not about a clergy class doing ministry to and for the laity. It's about leaders training everyone in the church to use their gifts, talents, and abilities to serve. And Paul says this is what builds up the church. In the next week, we looked at the structure of leadership in the church, and we learned that while many churches do it a lot of different ways, the Bible lays out a three-tiered levels of leadership. The first is Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the head of the church, and he calls the shots. Then we learned that when the apostles planted churches throughout the Mediterranean rim, every time there was a church established, they appointed elders or shepherds to take care of the church family. These shepherds would lead and feed, train and equip, protect and correct the flock. And then under the leadership of the shepherds, we talked about the diakonos. Our English word is deacons or ministry leaders. And these leaders lead in specific areas of service under the leadership of the shepherds. In the next message, we looked a little closer at who the shepherds are. Who are those guys? And we learned that they are mature men with experience who are older and wiser. They are men who give oversight and are responsible for the church family, and they are men who shepherd the church family. The ministry of shepherds is pastoral in nature. It's shared. It's led by men. It's qualified leadership, and it's servant leadership. We saw that the character of shepherds is to live a life above reproach, good leadership in the home, the ability to teach and defend the faith, and a spirit-given motivation to serve. So in many churches, we talked about we like to vote, and that's typically what we do to identify leaders. But we talked about the best way to recognize leaders is to recognize people that the Holy Spirit is raising up to serve. So we look for people who already have a heart for ministry and who are serving, and they really make the best leaders. Then we looked last week at the role of the diakonos, the ministry leaders, and we learned that the role of the deacons is that their ministry meets a specific need. It's team-oriented in ministry. Both men and women serve. It's qualified leadership, and again, like the shepherds, it's servant leadership. It's not about a position of authority and power. It's a position of leading with a servant's heart. And so we want to continue our discussion about the ministry leaders, but we want to talk about their character in this message. We talked last week about the idea of the diakonos as you got to have a heart of a servant. And there's two scriptures that kind of give us a little more in-depth look at the character of ministry leaders. And I'd like to invite you to open up to our first passage in Acts chapter 6. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 879. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 4, and specifically for characteristics of those who serve in this role. Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." So the apostles knew that their role in leadership was to continue teaching and preaching and to be devoted to prayer, but there was a need that needed to be met. So what did they do? They delegated the responsibility. But they didn't just appoint anyone. And there are three character qualities here that they looked for that I think are important for us to consider too. Whoever is going to serve in this kind of ministry must be well respected, must be full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. And so as the apostles appointed the first diakonos, those were three of the character qualities they looked for. Now to meet this specific need, we talked last week about the fact that they chose seven men who were Greek so that they could make sure that the Greek widows were not neglected. But that is specific to that circumstance. These are general characteristics that we can see that can be applied for today. There's a second definitive passage that talks about this, and I'd like you to flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you're using a chair Bible, this is on page 957, and we'll be looking at verses 8 to 13. Now, in the first seven verses, we read this a few weeks ago when we were looking at the characteristics of elders or shepherds, and so we've been over that, but Paul continues in this passage to talk to Timothy about the diakonos, or the ministry leaders. So let's pick it up in verse 8. In the same way, deacons must be well respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and have increased confidence in their faith in Jesus Christ. So in this third tier of leadership, the diakonos, or the ministry leaders, Paul actually repeats some of the things that we saw in Acts. Must be well-respected, the idea of integrity. And so he continues this with some more specific things. So let's take a look at these things. The first one is well-respected. Must be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, must be a person of integrity, must be self-controlled, must not be a heavy drinker or dishonest with money, and must not slander others. These are all important qualities that could fall under that well-respected characteristic. Again, these are characteristics, not necessarily qualifications. Remember, we talked last week when we're looking at these things as qualifications. Some people do a checklist, but these are characteristics that we should look for. In addition to being well-respected, another thing we can glean from this is there needs to be good leadership at home. Now, Paul makes a division here. He does talk about the diakonos must be respected. In verse 11, he says, in the same way, the New Living Translation says their wives. If you have a Bible, a New Living Translation, you might see an asterisk beside the word wives. And if you look down in the footnotes there, it says, or the women deacons. The word there actually is gune, which basically just means woman. And it can be interpreted as a woman or a wife, depending on the context. So depending on who the translator is, it might say one or the other. But the idea of good leadership at home, the reason I wanted to say that is I'm going to put two categories up here, because we talked about last week that there were examples in the New Testament of both men and women who served in this role. So this good leadership at the home looks like this. If a man is married, he's got to be faithful to his wife. It's like what we talked about with the shepherds, right? It's not a qualification that you have to be married, but if you are, you're faithful. And then also the man must manage his household well. When it's talking about the women here, it basically says the women must be faithful in everything, kind of a broader category. But that is a characteristic of diakonos. These are people who are faithful. They're faithful in the home, they're faithful in the church and in the ministry. And so this characteristic of good leadership at home is another character mark of the diakonos, or the ministry leaders. We see another characteristic here is being committed to the faith. That, of course, is faith in Christ, faith in the gospel. It's the message that Paul has been teaching and preaching. So you got to be committed to the faith, but it's not just committed to the teachings of it. You got to live with a clear conscience, which means you got to live it. We talked about this a little bit in ABF today and the last couple of weeks. Your walk has to match your talk. If you say you're following Christ, that's good, but your character shows whether you live it or not. And then the final thing is, it says that they must be tested. And this is why sometimes when people are looking to serve in the church, they're often given a task to see how well they do before they are put in a leadership role of leading a ministry. And so there is a characteristic here of passing a test, if you will, giving someone a responsibility and see how they do with it. Now again, why are these character qualities so important? Well, when it comes to church leadership, in many churches, because we vote, it becomes a popularity contest. Well, this person's been coming for so long, maybe we ought to vote them in. I don't know about you, but I don't see that in this passage, because that is not part of God's plan for leadership in the church. There are some people who view this as a power play. They want to get other people on the church board so we have a voting block and can push our agenda. I don't know about you, I didn't read any of that in here, because power plays are not part of God's plan for church leadership. There are some people in churches who reward generous donors by giving them a leadership position. I don't know about you, I didn't read that in here, did you? That's because rewarding generous donors is not part of God's plan for church leadership. There are some churches where they say, well, let's just give somebody the responsibility and let's hope that person rises to the occasion and it works out. If it doesn't, we'll just find someone else. That's not a good way to choose leaders. That is not part of God's plan for church leadership. This is very similar to what we talked about when we talked about the character of the elders or shepherds. It's really important to recognize people that the Holy Spirit of God is raising up to serve. How do you do that? Watch how they live and watch how they serve. If you weren't here a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned this, this was something that was an issue in the church in which I grew up. We had many people sitting on the board who won a popularity contest, or they were part of a power play, or they were generous donors and had been rewarded. But our church transitioned out of that, because when people were suggested for leadership, instead of just nominating somebody's name to be considered, people had to indicate what ministry area is this person already serving or exhibiting leadership in. Because that shows the kind of heart that God wants for people in leadership. This Spirit-given motivation, this idea of servant leadership rather than grasping for power and authority to tell people what to do. It's about God raising up people with that servant's heart, and the best way to see that is to see who is the Holy Spirit raising up to serve. So we've talked about the character of those who serve as ministry leaders today, and it's so important that we recognize the role and we recognize the characteristics, so when people can be identified to serve as ministry leaders, we're choosing people that God is raising up to serve rather than who we might select on our own. So again, this might be a little different than a church that maybe you've attended in the past or grown up with, but rather than following man's traditions, we want to try to follow God's word as best as we can. And so that's why it's important to consider these scriptures from Acts and 1 Timothy when we're thinking about this. So my challenge for you today is pretty simple. It's to accept God's plan revealed in His Word for the ministry leaders. We need to do this His way, not because of a tradition or because of what we think. We need to do what He thinks. After all, this is His church. Let's pray. Lord God, we have been learning some pretty significant things about leadership in the church. We thank You for helping us identify the purpose of leadership. It's not about hiring somebody to do ministry to us and for us. It's about having leaders who will train and equip us to serve so everybody's using their gifts, talents, and abilities for the kingdom of God. We learn that the structure of the church is not what so many make it. It's pretty simple. It's putting Jesus as the head of the church. It's His body. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who put His life on the line for it. We need to follow His ways. And then in each church that was planted, the apostles appointed elders or shepherds to tend and care for the flock of God, to provide leadership, feeding and training and equipping and correcting and protecting. And then when needs come up that the shepherds can't be distracted from their main role to do, they recognize ministry leaders who will take those tasks on and meet them in a godly way. We thank You so much for helping us learn that. And we thank You, Father, for the roles that we've learned for both the shepherds and the ministry leaders. We thank You for helping us recognize characteristics of those who would serve well in these roles. But Lord, sometimes it's difficult to find people to serve. And so we thank You for these guidelines, but we just want to pray and ask You, Holy Spirit, to raise people up. Raise shepherds up to help tend the flock and raise ministry leaders up to meet the needs that come up in our church family so that our church family is strong, so that our church family is faithful, so that our church family is getting on with the business of making disciples and bringing people to know Jesus. Lord Jesus, when You were here, You were known as the Great Shepherd. And as we strive to follow You, even today, 2,000 years later, our prayer is to lead on, Good Shepherd. Help us follow You and Your ways so that Your church grows and more people come to follow You. Help us be faithful in following You. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing our sermon response.
Well, I've been turned round, but I've never been lost. Seen the water get troubled, but we walked across. When my knees were shaking, You held my hand, turning my problems to a promised land.